Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
What do you call a horse with good mental health? Stable. Yeah. All right. Apparently, people who exercise have been shown to recover better and be less at risk from mental health issues. So who said you can't run away from your problems? All right, I thought that was better than the other one, but apparently not. I'm going to drink coffee again before I get in. Caleb actually was the one that brought the jokes this morning, so I probably should have canceled my jokes ahead of time. Today launches a new series. And I've just been so encouraged by the last few months at our church. If you're newer here, I want to remind you or let you know that our word for the year, we pray in for a theme for the overall year every year. And this year it is bold. So can we just say the word bold together? And remember, bold is not obnoxious. It's not arrogant. It's a Jesus-like boldness, and we spent January unpacking what that looks like, and the podcasts are up on the website if you missed that or want to refresh. We went from bold, and then we went into to different series since then, but one of the ones was Dial 911. Remember? How to Respond to God in Crisis. That was one of my favorite series we've done in a long time. And now we're moving into a series on something that I have never done an entire series on. We've never done it. Caleb and I have never done this before. So we're going to be getting into mental health. And if you were here on Easter, we had a packed house for Easter, and everybody filled out a lot of you filled out a survey, and mental health was one of the top three topics that everyone wanted to hear. And I got to be honest with you, I opened those surveys with fear and trembling. I was like, all right, I said I'd preach on the top three. What's the top three? Well, this was one of them. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice, and there was one other as well that I'm not remembering right now, but we have it all written down. So over the next few months, we'll continue to unpack this. But 46% of Americans will struggle with mental health at some point in their life. So that's half of us in this room have either already struggled or will struggle. That's not a curse. That's just kind of some statistics. 10%, about 10% of our country has an anxiety disorder. So one in 10 of us, actually probably almost literally, may have some kind of anxiety disorder. That might mean that maybe being in a crowd is difficult for you this morning. I want you to know that we see you, especially after 2020 and all that social change. Mental health isn't a modern concept, but a part of who we are as humans made in the image of God. I want to make sure as we talk about mental health that you don't just hear mental health struggles, but hear mental health. Let's bolden the word health, all right? So mental health is part of who God made us, to be healthy mentally. Your identity and value is more than your past, any label or diagnosis or what people have said. And it's time to bust through the mental health myths, the shame and the confusion in the church and in our world, and really look at what the Bible has to say and how it impacts each of us personally. I have a very long definition of mental health. I have a feeling as the weeks go on, the definition will get shorter because I'll probably summarize it better. But this is a dictionary definition. Mental health, a state of mind characterized by emotional well-being, good behavioral adjustment, relative freedom from anxiety and disabling symptoms, and a capacity to establish constructive relationships and cope with the ordinary demands and stresses of life. I read that and suddenly I didn't feel very mentally healthy, not gonna lie. I was like, oh dear. Cope with the ordinary demands and stresses of life. I feel like there is no such thing as an ordinary demand anymore. It's kind of feels all extraordinary right now with our world. I don't know, maybe that's not an excuse, that just feels like reality. But I want to get a couple things out of the way before we get into the Word of God. Number one, I want to just speak this, because someone might be thinking this. You're not going to come to TED Talks at Thrive, all right? You can look up mental health on the internet. You can get a whole slew of opinions. You can get professional opinions, unprofessional opinions. You can get all of that. We're going to get into the Word of God, all right? And I just want to put that out there now. And I've got a couple ground rules that we're even going to lay down for this month. But before I do that, I want to just point out that when I say the word mental health, it can cause all kinds of emotions. Some of you came because you knew we were doing the series on it, and some of you maybe didn't come or didn't want to come because you heard the word mental health. It can cause shame. Maybe your family has someone who has dealt with mental health struggles, or maybe you have dealt with it and have hid it from the world. Maybe it's stirred up anxiety, talking about mental health and mental health struggles, because the term was weaponized in your life against you or is the source of your greatest pain. Maybe it caused confusion. You don't understand why you've dealt with a struggle and you've tried to ignore it and you're just confused at this point. Maybe you felt hope because you've dealt with struggles in your past but are in a new place of wholeness today. As we talk about this every week this month, you're going to hear some real stories from our leadership team and from people maybe even in our community of struggles that they have processed through and how they've met Jesus in the middle of it. I want you to know that as I was preparing this message, I felt every single one of those emotions that I just said. I love message prep. I'm not an introvert, but on my message prep day, don't talk to me, don't interrupt me, except for Phoebe. Now I have to listen to like rhinoceros storybooks while I'm trying to focus on this. I'm like, Brian's reading about this little like rhinoceros and I'm over here typing away. It's very hard to multitask. But normally I just hone in and I talk to Holy Spirit. I look at my Bible, we get into the root words and do research. But for this series, I found myself connecting with my heart more and more. And I actually went through all of those emotions before I was like, I got to write this down because I'm not going to be the only one that experiences this morning. I want you to know that mental health struggles have directly impacted our family in a very profound way, in a tragic way, including even death. So my husband and I and our pastor team, we come to this conversation, we come to the table this month in a very humble, sensitive, real, raw way. And I want us to know that. It's easy to feel like you're on the outside looking in or someone's up here speaking down, but I'm on the floor with you, just in the dirt with Jesus, saying, God, speak into this area. But we've experienced God and found him in our times of need. And that's the place that we're going to be speaking from the pulpit this week and this month. So a few ground rules before we get in. I don't normally have ground rules. It's like youth group. You ready for the rules? Don't pop the bubble. Apparently none of y'all were in the youth group here. All right, anyway. Number one, we're going to be real. We won't have all the answers, but everything we talk about is going to point back to Jesus. Number two, I'm a pastor, not a licensed therapist or a psychologist. I know that's obvious, but I just want to put that out there. And I know some of us, even in this room, are professionals. As a church, we don't give medical advice or advise you to go on or off medication. That is a conversation between you and your doctor. We're not here to label ourselves or each other this month, shame ourselves, shame each other, glorify anything, any labels. We're here to encounter God. And mental health struggles cover a very wide range, all right? And we are not going to be talking about all of them this month. That's impossible. And so if you have a question or you want to have a conversation about a specific area or an experience, the pastor team is ready. We have resources. We can connect you, all right? So Sunday mornings, we won't be able to encapsulate everything, but it might bring something up in your heart and you want to pray through it or talk through it. That sound good? All right, then let's get into it this morning. If you want to get your Bible out, you're going to go to 1 Kings. And we're not going to get there for a minute, but we will get there, and then we will stay there. So just start going there. We're going to start in the New Testament, but I'm going to bop around a little bit while you're getting there. So I want to break down this morning's message. And I asked for a little bit more message time this morning because I want to really set a foundation for the month. The first point we're going to talk about is titled A Real Need. Can we just say a real need? Before we talk too much about mental health and God, we have to be able to accept and realize that mental health is a real need. It's not just for the person next to you or for you or for me, but it's for all of humanity, all right? And so our key verse for the month is found in Luke 10:27. I know I told you to turn to Kings. If you want to bop around for a minute, you can, but we'll land in Kings. But Luke 10:27, if you're going to want to memorize a scripture this month, this is your scripture to memorize. Maybe you've already memorized it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Next week for Mother's Day, we're going to actually look at this, and I'm going to actually say it in Hebrew, which will be fun. But we're going to look at the first word that stood out, and it's mentioned the most in that, and it is the word all. Can we say all this morning? I know I've got you talking. You don't have to talk, but I like to talk with you. That word all, it means whole, all, entire, or complete. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. How many know that if you go to a church, a good church, in the area here or anywhere in our country or world, normally the mission statement has some version of love your neighbor as yourself, right? What's our mission statement? Inviting people to experience God, thrive in Jesus, forget dead religion. Somewhere in there you can hear loving your neighbor, right? Inviting people. It's invitational. But without the first part of Luke 10, you can't do the second part in a healthy way. Have you ever tried to love your neighbor, but you haven't been loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, or all your mind, and you end up in a tangled, toxic mess because you're trying to help them beyond your capacity, or you take them on as you're the savior for them? Is that just me in my life, right? We go outside of our ability because we're not in a healthy place with God. Thriving relationships begin with a thriving heart, soul, strength, and mind. Remember that word thrive. It means to grow vigorously or mature. That's our name. That's what our church is all about thriving. So God created us mind, body, soul, and spirit to all, remember that word, all, work together to love him. He didn't make our spirit and our soul, and the devil made our mind. Think about that. Have you ever acted like that? Like, well, God made my spirit, but the devil must have made my body and my mind, because what I go through? He made all of us in his image. We live in a fallen world, but we are made in the image of God, all of us. It says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That word seek, my favorite definition when you're looking in the root words, is to get to the bottom of the matter. Jesus came to get to the bottom of the matter of what's going on in your life. And that word save is my favorite word in the Bible, other than Jesus, all right, is sozo, right? To save, heal, rescue, deliver, preserve, make whole. Jesus came to get to the bottom of where you feel lost and heal and rescue you. This is the gospel. And it's a process. It's not a destination, right? I know I've said it before, but there was a new believer here a while back, and he was like, I can't wait till I've arrived. And I was like, who's going to tell him, right? Hopefully you live a long life, and that means you have not arrived for a very long time, my friend, right? It is a process with Jesus. So this series is called With All Your Mind, and we're going to be looking at what does it look like to love God with all of our being, all of our mind. I chose our key verse to be found in the Gospel of Luke because Luke was a physician. I don't know if you knew that. In Colossians 4:14, Paul describes Luke as the beloved physician. Now, back then, all physicians were not beloved. Historically, in that culture, they didn't like physicians, kind of like Pastor Caleb in his confessional last Sunday. I was out in the foyer with Phoebe, and I hear all this laughing, and I'm like, what is going on in here? Well, he was confessing. It says confess your sins to one another, right? But anyway, during that time, not everyone liked physicians. So for him to be a physician was actually quite a big deal. But in the topic of mental health, I thought it was appropriate to have a physician's viewpoint on it. And he said, you can love God with all of you. So if a doctor said that from a physical standpoint, let's get into what that looks like, all right? So this month, we're going to be breaking down that key verse. We're going to be looking at key mental health struggle issues and God's responses. We'll look at some anxiety, some addiction, emotional health, burnout, and some different areas. I believe my husband may be sharing part of his testimony, which he hasn't shared before. It's just going to be a powerful time. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" One thing that is so important as we talk about this is that we should never be more impressed by a label or a diagnosis than the power of God and the love of God. It doesn't mean we live in denial, but I will never be more impressed by that. I will be more impressed by the love of God. And I invite you into that place as well. If it is a weakness, then it is all the more an opportunity for God to rest on you in that area. How many know mental health struggles aren't a modern concept? It's not like they just popped up. Kind of feels that way because of the internet. It's like, oh, there's like a new label. I wonder if I have that. Anyone get these targeted ads? You get all these targeted things once you search one thing. And by the end of it, you're like, I guess I have that too. And it's like, wait, let's not self-label, right? But it's not a modern day concept. Humanity didn't wake up one day and suddenly have it. Whoever suffers from mental health still carries the image of God since the beginning of time, right? So I want to highlight two people historically that you may not know struggled in the area of mental health. The first one is an author of the second best-selling Christian book after the Bible. That's a big deal. He was believed to suffer from OCD focused on religious or moral failures. In his autobiography, he detailed agonizing, involuntary, blasphemous thoughts, intense doubts, and obsessive ritualistic behaviors aimed at alleviating his fear of damnation. That was a sentence. All right, let's keep going with me. Can you guess who this was? John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He said, "In times of affliction, we commonly meet with the sweetest experiences of the love of God." That quote hits different when you know that he was struggling mentally. There's another person historically, a British nurse who lived during the 1800s and founded modern nursing and founded the first scientifically based nursing school. One study found that this woman reduced soldier death rates from 40% to 2% by changing hygiene. Experts say she most likely had type 1 bipolar disorder. Guess who? Know who? Florence Nightingale. "I attribute my success to this. I never gave or took an excuse. How very little can be done under the spirit of fear." It makes me almost tear up when you hear a quote from someone and you realize the battle going on behind that quote. It's easy to come to church and hear a positive word and think, well, that's easy for them to say, but it wasn't. It came with a testimony. Reverend Will Vanderhart, he's a British priest who has journeyed through PTSD after the 2005 London bombings and works now in the mental health area in London, said, "When we diminish the ministry of people, of those who are suffering from mental health issues, we diminish the ministry of these giants who formed the backbone of the modern church." He listed a couple other giants of faith that will hear about in the coming weeks. My jaw dropped a couple times when I heard their backstories and their testimonies. So remember, nothing is bigger than the cross, all right? Nothing is bigger than the cross. His blood speaks a better and final word over our lives. It's louder than any crisis. It's louder than any label. It's louder than your past. It's louder than anything to come. And we build our foundation on the finished work of Jesus. Amen? So let's continue this conversation from that place with Jesus. But I want you to know that you are not alone if you have struggled silently or if you have a family member who has struggled. There are giants of faith that have walked this journey. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. I realize I never told you which chapter. I'm sorry. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. And we're going to actually read a fair amount of this by the end of today. All right, but we're just going to start here now. Love the sound of rustling papers. Keep bringing your Bibles. All right, verse 4. "But he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. I'm going to say that one more time. But he himself, Elijah, went in a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. I want to speak to two different types of people here this morning, or maybe you have a little bit of both. One, I want to speak to someone today who feels like they have had enough. Maybe you are even on the edge of not wanting to be doing what you're doing right now or giving up completely. I want to speak to you this morning. But I also want to speak to someone today who thinks you are bigger than a mental health crisis. No matter what acts of God you have had in your life, you are not bigger than a mental health struggle happening. Elijah had his greatest miracles and then spiraled right after. Remember, almost 50% of Americans will struggle with mental health at some point in their life. So let's come to the table humbly. How we respond to this passage in 1 Kings can define our lives, because most of us will face a mental health moment in our life. You hear thumping? Is that a child? Pastor Caleb, thank you. Next Gen is awesome today. Give it up for Next Gen. All right, so before we get deeper into Kings, I want to unpack three different mental health myths. I'm going to call them mental health myths. You can call them, I was honestly trying to figure out a better name than myth, but Reverend Will Vanderhart calls them theologies of mental health. That's a large word for it, so I just want to call them myths. But there are three different ways the church has approached mental health historically and where we find ourselves today. And I want to invite you, as I read out these different ways of looking at mental health, I want to invite you to think about how you have approached it personally in your past, and I want to ask if you would invite God in to give a fresh perspective, all right? So the first way of viewing mental health, and today is a little bit more teaching heavy, so thank you for coming to class with Jesus with me. The first way of looking at it is that it is purely a spiritual illness. And a lot of people base this perspective off of 1 Samuel with Saul and David. We got a harpist. Well, I don't even think we had a harpist today. We have a harpist every other Sunday, but anyway, a harp, all right? There's usually a harp up there. And spiritual illness perspective says that mental health struggles are the result of sin or the demonic only. Behind all of this is the supernatural only, and there is a war on. It pushes people to just choose joy or trust God more. Anyone ever been shoved that in your face when you were really struggling mentally? Just choose joy. The problem is this debilitates confidence. And it can cut you at the kneecaps. If you just made it to church and that was the miracle and someone shoves that in your face, it's like, what do you do with that, right? And it looks to deliverance ministry as the only answer, the only one, all right? So it sees it purely as a spiritual illness. The next one sees it purely as a religious virtue. Mental health struggles mean God is putting me to the test. It's a trial by fire. It's just a religious battle to demonstrate victory. God causes mental health issues for his purpose. That's this perspective. Mother Teresa's spiritual advisor, Reverend Joseph, told her that her agony was a grace granted by God to purify her and protect her from pride as an antidote to the public fame. Treatment options are withheld because God ordained it. That's religious virtue. There are several tragedies in these two extreme viewpoints, but one of them is that any treatment options are prevented because God ordained it or it's purely spiritual. But you have those two, right? You have spiritual illness or religious virtue. Unfortunately, the church and culture and everything kind of looked at that, and a lot of it, they just said, that's extreme. We're going to go all the way to the other extreme and see it only as physical, physicalism. Mental health struggles are purely physical. There is absolutely no spiritual element ever. There is never redemption. There are no miracles, and it is purely medical. So we have these two extremes that we kind of bounce back. And if you've been in the church for a long time, maybe you've kind of bumped through these or encountered them personally or with a loved one. So how do we move forward as a church? And this is where we're going to get into the word a little bit here deeper. My second point is a realer God. So we have a real need, but we have a more real God. A realer God, that's a hard grammar word. So I'm going to say it's a more real God, all right? One of the sayings in this church is be real, but then invite a real God to meet you in your real need, right? And that new perspective is God's vision for mental well-being. Can we just say well-being? As I said at the beginning, God created us mind, body, soul, and spirit to all work together to be integrated by God and restored in his love and power. And there can be spiritual causation, although we don't believe God himself causes illness. It just means there can be a spiritual element to it. And there can be a natural causation. There can be a natural element to the mental health struggles. All right? So instead of bouncing from one extreme to the other extreme, it's like, you know what? There can be some opening for either. How many know if you break your leg, no one will condemn you for going to the doctor? If they do, maybe get a new friend. I don't know, right? If you break your leg, go to the doctor. But when someone is struggling with a mental health struggle, maybe it's a chemical imbalance or something like that, it's very easy to shame for going to the doctor. But it's like a broken leg, right? So God's vision for mental well-being says, let's pray. Let's intercede. Let's process through what we need to. Maybe there is opportunity for some Christ-centered counseling as well. And maybe medication is also needed. What if all of these could work together and they weren't all at odds with each other? All right? So it's a more holistic approach because God created all of us. Are you following? So let's look at Elijah for how we're landing here. So in 1 Kings 19, we're going to get right back into it. I want to zoom out real quick if you don't know the story. So Elijah confronted King Ahab over idolatry, and Elijah prophesies a 3-year drought and then survives the drought through God's provision given by ravens. And then Elijah confronts King Ahab to challenge him on Mount Carmel. And then in 1 Kings 18, Elijah calls down fire to prove God is real and God answers his prayer. He prays for rain and God gives it. How many know this is like, it's like one of those AI videos that pops up on Facebook and then gets viral because they're like, wow, look at what happened. And then you have to be, you're like, that's AI. Has anyone been shared something like that? Maybe you've been the one that shared it. You're like, wow, this is amazing. Newsflash, this really happened, all right? Unfortunately, with AI, it's kind of numbing us, I think, a little to the supernatural visually. So this is real, all right? This actually happened. This is AI level. This is bigger than AI, right? Fire came, rain came. It was really dramatic, all right? We're not just going to skip over that, like, oh, whatever, right? It's not an AI video. This is real. And then in 1 Kings 19, Elijah faces threats against his life, and he runs. So we're going to find ourselves, again, 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. Let's just pause here. In Elijah's state of mental crisis, God doesn't condemn. He doesn't judge. He doesn't correct, he doesn't call out, and he doesn't punish. He's not even angry for his lack of faith after an incredible miracle. Imagine fire falling right here this morning. That'd be amazing. We'd be like, this is what we've always wanted, right? With Jesus, he's like real. All right, Thomas. Some of you got that. But instead, God responds to Elijah's whole well-being, just like we see Jesus doing in the New Testament so many times. So we're going to break down how God responded. Number one, God responded physically. 1 Kings 19, we're going to continue on with verse 5. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. So number one, God saw him in this mental breakdown and said, Elijah, you need to rest physically. Have you ever heard a Christian be like, I don't need to sleep? There was a person that came through here back when I was a kid, and they'd be like, I can sleep when I'm dead. I'm like, how are you doing now? You're a little older. Are we wiser? You're taking naps, right? God made us to physically rest, not just spiritually, but physically. Some of us need to hear that. God made him fresh bread and gave him water. That's like an, can we just pause for a second? We're like, oh yeah, like, no. God made him bread and water. Sometimes you need a nap and a snack, right? And that is, if you get hangry, that is no small thing. Marriages have been saved on that, all right? My marriage has. By the end of this chapter, God has also physically provided a companion for Elijah with Elisha, all right? So he's like, all right, he's lonely, he's tired, and he's hangry. He's angry, right? What is it? Halt. Are you hungry, alone, lonely? Let's see, what is it? Angry, thank you. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. He was all of that. And look at God. He physically provided every one of those needs. So if you are in a place this morning, or you know someone who's in a place of feeling like you are giving up, there can be a physical response that is actually needed. Don't just over-spiritualize it. That's a huge part of my husband's testimony that he will share probably after Mother's Day, all right? We won't have him share on Mother's Day. So God responded physically. All right, number two, God, of course, responded spiritually. So let's continue on. 1 Kings 19:7-8. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights. That is some superfood. My husband loves to get like the protein shakes and all this superfood. He tries to give it to me. Different mindset. But anyway, can you imagine a superfood that made it so you could actually travel 40 days? That's amazing. Until he reached the mountain of God. So God sent an angel to him and then guides him to this mountain where Elijah encounters God's presence. How many know God's presence isn't a bonus to life? God's presence is life itself. So when we read this as New Testament, right, as believers, we're like, oh, that's great. He had a great worship service on the mountain. I get that when I go to Sunday. Maybe I hope you experience that. No. This is Old Testament. This is a huge deal. He experienced God's tangible presence. This is why Jesus came and died, so that we would never be separated from his presence. This is amazing. So in his time of giving up, he gets physically nourished with his body, and then he gets spiritually nourished by experiencing the presence of God. That's why I say, hey, come to church tired, come to church broken, come to church lonely, come to church and experience God together. Let's come to the mountain of God together to experience him, just like he did here. He also responded emotionally. Everyone say emotionally. Verse 9, there he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Have you ever been in a place of mental breakdown and heard God say, what are you doing here? Not in a condemning way, but how'd we get here? What are you doing here? Remember, God didn't lecture, he didn't yell, he didn't shout. He asked a question, just like Jesus, over and over and over again in the New Testament. I don't know about you, but when I've been in a mental health struggle, it's so easy to get afraid of God. I don't know what it is, but we think he's going to yell. We think he's going to lecture, right? But here in this passage, we see him ask a question, an invitational question, a question that invites him to encounter. And Elijah answers. And then in verse 11 through 13, I'm going to read one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. It was a sign of intimacy to worship. And stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, again, what are you doing here, Elijah? God didn't just ask one question. He asked the same question again. How many know when you are spiraling, one of the kindest things someone can do is ask a question and then gently ask it again because you didn't actually hear it the first time? Is that just me? God had just shown himself strong for Elijah in the previous chapter by sending rain and literal fire. And then in his moment of struggle, God could have done anything. He could have sent the fire again. He could have sent the rain again. But instead, he sent a whisper. I looked up what that whisper means. And it comes from a root word that means crushed. It's a thin voice. It's a little voice. How many know that when you are in a mental health spiral or struggle, you feel tiny? You feel so tiny, like no one can see you. And in that place, in the crushing of our life, the voice of God who is crushed for humanity responds. It says in Isaiah 53, but it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole, and in his wounds we find our healing. In Elijah's crushing, God didn't show up big, miraculous. He went to the crushing place of his heart and whispered to meet him there in the crushing. And that's what God does every day when we cry out to him when we are struggling. There was a time in my life when I was much younger where I had a mental health struggle and I couldn't understand it and I thought it was demonic, but when I prayed, it didn't go away. Like I was praying deliverance type thing, and I was just tormented in my mind. And then years later, I was meeting with someone and we were reading symptoms of a form of OCD. And I started to tear up because right there on that piece of paper was every single symptom that I had struggled with. And I thought it was purely spiritual. I didn't know there could be an environmental trigger or a physical trigger. I had no idea. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. What? And I got so much healing. And so I come to the conversation this month, and I invite you to the table with Jesus. No matter what you've ever thought you've struggled with or wondered, or maybe you don't struggle at all, and maybe it's just someone in your family. As I said, it's been the greatest pain of my life. Mental health struggles very close to me. Even this week, dealing with it, just unimaginable. And I know that in that place of feeling so little and feeling so crushed by the weight of the world, the whisper of God, who is crushed for our sins and crushed for the world, meets us right there. And he speaks life. And what the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, he gives life. Amen? So can we just stand on our feet this morning? Matthew 11 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to encourage us that God isn't distant. He's closer than the oxygen in our lungs. And no matter what the word mental health brings to mind, mental health as a child of God comes with a promise of wholeness. And it might look like a process, it might look different for each of us, but I know Jesus is closer than the oxygen in our lungs this morning. So this morning I want to leave you with a blessing. And this week's Bible study is really powerful. I encourage you, get the Bible study. You can always get it online at thriveny.org/connect on the YouVersion app or from Pastor Caleb at the back. But let's invite God in to renew our mind. Maybe some of what I said this morning, you don't know what you believe. You're like, I don't know. That was three different perspectives. I don't know where I find myself. That's okay. It's a journey. Let's just invite God to show us, renew our mind. But I want to leave you with this blessing. I bless every area that has carried shame to encounter God's whisper of love and freedom this morning. Every area of crushing, whether it's personally or in your family, to meet Jesus and his crushing that turned into resurrection power, and the same power that lives in you is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. I bless your identity to be established in Christ, not in your past, not in labels, not in feelings, not in behavior or circumstances. I bless you to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. In Christ today, you are accepted. In Christ, you are secure. In Christ, you are significant. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you have purpose. In Christ, you have hope. In Christ, you are not alone. And the verse that saved my life when I was dealing with my mental health struggle, I would hold on to this verse for dear life when I felt like Elijah. It says in John chapter 10, "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." That kept me alive. I bless you to be reminded that you are safe in the hands of God who holds the whole world. Jesus, would you help us thrive mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally? You created all of us, God. Would you transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit? We can't change ourselves. We can't do behavior modification. You are the only one that can transform us, God. So we surrender to you. Maybe there's someone here this morning that hasn't surrendered your life to Jesus. I'm just going to invite you to say this prayer, because going into this month, it is a good month to be saved. So if this is you, I just invite you to say, "Jesus, be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for my sins. I receive your mercy. In Jesus' name." If you prayed that prayer for the first time or rededicated your life, we'd love to know in the back corner this morning. But be a witness this week, and let's invite God into all of who we are. Let's encounter who he is, just like Elijah. Maybe you need a nap. Maybe you need a snack. Maybe you need the presence of God, and if you don't, you do. Maybe you need to just sit with God and listen and have him ask a question through the word or through encountering him, however you encounter God. But he is here, closer than the oxygen we breathe. Amen? So be a witness this week. Bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.